Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, go ahead and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we will be considering verses 16 through 18 this evening. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10, though, for context. Let's go before the Lord together once again in prayer before we consider his word. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you have taught us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And as we hear the preaching of your word this evening, I pray that you would remove distractions from our minds. Give us a hunger for and feed us by your very word. Give us eager attention to sit at your feet and to be taught by you. May your Spirit open our understanding, we pray. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. This is the word of God written for you and for me today. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ, what we considered last week in verses 10 through 15 regarding the imperative to love, God's command to us to love, sets the stage nicely for what God tells us must be true in the outworking of love in what we will consider today. God has been teaching us through John about how to distinguish between the people of God and the children of the devil. Remember what John says in verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So whether one loves his brother or not, is evidence of who his father is. And John goes on to lay out a command to love one another in verse 11. And then he contrasts love and hatred in verses 12 through 15. And there are a couple of things I want to point out from these verses. First, love is a product of life. Love is a product of life. Notice that the love of the brethren is evidence that we have passed from death to life. And again, how do we know that we belong to Jesus? Because we love the brethren. And second, John also makes a connection between hatred of the brethren and murder. Strong and sobering words here. Consider also Christ's words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22a. He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And take note of who is on the list of those who will be cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8, we read, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so, my friends, murder begins in the heart. And John says, whoever is a murderer is in eternal death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And in verses 16 through 18 of 1 John 3 here, John combines the love of God with the love of the brethren. So how do we know love? Therefore, what must we do with our lives? And what must we do for the brethren? These are all important questions. We must be prepared to lay down our lives for them. We must have open and giving hearts to them. And so in verse 16, notice that John begins in talking about our knowledge of love. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So how do we know love? We have the supreme and the chief example to teach us. We have the great teacher who showed true love through what he did, that we wouldn't bicker or debate about the scope or the definitions of love, but know it fully as it is manifest in him. Christian love is an expression of our gratitude to Christ because he laid down his life for us. Christian love is motivated by Christ's love for us. Surely, we should love those whom God so loved as well. Consider John 10, verse 17. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Notice that the Father's love here, and the Father's love for his Son, is also connected to his sacrificial act of love. Christian love isn't only an expression of gratitude, but it's also selfless and enduring. Notice, "And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," John said. Laying down our lives. Laying down our lives is an important, but maybe for some, a daunting statement. But yet we should have self-sacrificial relationships with each other. As Matthew Henry commented, "Our Christian love must be so fervent as to make us willing to suffer even to death for the safety and salvation of the dear brethren." And Christ's words further ring loudly in our ears. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15:13. And so is this love, this self-sacrificial love, expressed in our lives regularly? We need to ponder that. When we get ourselves and sin out of the way, maybe we could say yes. And if this love is enduring, it's committed for the long haul. At times, this love may need to act quickly, even in a matter of seconds. And yet, if things are in the way of our fellowship, such love won't go into action. Ask yourself this. If you aren't willing to talk to someone you call a brother because of issues between you, what makes you think that you would be willing to lay down your life for him? If you've written off your sister and feel fine to talking about to others about her behind her back, what makes you think that you would be willing to lay down your life for her? We can fill in the blanks on other situations that this would apply to also, but if we truly have the love of Christ in us, then we must have a dedication to sacrificial love. One of the main ways we need to keep that love in check, to keep it pure, is to daily prayerfully assess and purposely remove any roadblocks in our lives that would hinder it. Sometimes this may mean that we are on the phone or we're going to visit a brother or a sister frequently until things are resolved. Whatever it takes, we're called to lay down our lives for them and to be prepared to do so. So let's make sure that our hearts are in the right place to do that. And so, my friends, Christian love isn't only selfless and enduring. But notice what John goes on to say in verse 17. It's also evident in caring for one another. So there is this self-sacrificial evident, there's a self-sacrificial aspect of our love that must be present. But our love is also evident in caring for one another. He says in verse 17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" In other words, they have something that they can distribute and they see the need. It's one thing to see a need but have nothing to give. It's another to have something to give and to not see the need. You know, sometimes people don't know what is going on until the need is communicated to them. It isn't that they don't care. It isn't that they can't help. They just don't know about the need. But John here addresses the matter of the heart. If you have and you see, is your heart open or shut? That's the question. Notice what he says here about those who have shut up their hearts from their brothers or sisters. This phrase, shut up his heart, otherwise stated, and closes his bowels from him in the King James. The bowels are the internal organs, the inward parts, the deepest parts of us. Literally, the Greek word for close or shut up means hard-hearted or void of compassion. The word heart is referring to the tender affections of the heart. So in other words, to shut up your heart is to see the need but not care. You see the need, but you don't care. So one of the marks of the children of God is that we are full of compassion, willing to help, desiring to care for others, especially when they are our family. Think about it. If one of us had a need, should we not be tender and concerned? If one of us would be cold and indifferent, unchanged, or even refusing to help, we would view that as not just being odd or strange, but wrong. John here says that such behavior would be evidence of the love of God not being in them. And further, you can't think that you are loving God more than at present you are loving the brethren. Again, this is a continuation. It's tying into that same statement that I've said before. If you love God, you will love his people. And so your love of God in many ways is evident and it's on display as you're loving his people. Some pretty sobering things for us to think about. Consider the words in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. There we read, "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Verse 9, beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land." My friends, with open hearts of compassion, we must also have open hands. Remember that all we have is the Lord's. We are to be good stewards, and when we see a brother or a sister in need, it is good to give to them. In fact, it is pleasing to God to give to them. He blesses us as we give to them. Indeed, he will bless us as we do so, and our action will also be a blessing to our brother or our sister. And it will be a good testimony and a good witness of the love of God to those who are watching and observing. Understanding these things, note then that John encourages us to take action. Verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." J.C. Ryle said this, "Let your Christianity be so unmistakable, your eye so single, your heart so whole, your walk so straightforward, that all who see you may have no doubt whose you are and whom you serve." Similar to James saying that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, here John says, don't just talk the talk. Don't just flatter people with your words, or even have some sincerity in your words with lack of action, but be faithful in letting your actions speak loudly. Be faithful in letting your actions speak loudly of the love and the compassion that you have in your heart. Don't just tell me you love me and not show me you love me. John Calvin said this, "The reality of love exists only in the deed. The reality of love exists only in the deed." So tell me you love me, but don't use words to camouflage or to excuse lack of action. Truly, the proof is in the pudding. So, beloved, think about this. Love is always something important to encourage the church in. It's always important. We need to be inoculated against the disease of love waxing cold among the brethren. We are called time and time again in the scriptures to increase in our love. Even John, even in the preceding chapters, abounding in love. Paul to the churches, abound in love. This is a consistent message from the apostles. It's appropriate for love within the family of God to be rekindled. It is appropriate for that fire to be stoked. It's appropriate for us to examine and to get things out of the way that are hindering our love. So how is that love to be rekindled? We need to go back to the cross. Going back to the cross and seeing afresh and more fully the love of God in Christ for us. For as John said at the beginning of this passage, he laid down his life for us. This is how we know love. We see the love of Jesus. And we know it more fully. And then we see his command that we would do the same. So I ask you, are you prepared to lay down your life for the brethren? Deal with struggles and troubles in your life now, that you would be willing to do so when needed. Amen. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.